Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome. Let's just start with a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with. When we see the sun shining and the breeze blowing, we're just reminded of how good you are to each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you for all of your gifts. Most of all, we thank you for Jesus, and pray that as we gather together this morning in his name, that we can all be blessed by it. We can be encouraged by it and motivated to go from here this morning to live lives of faith and love. Lord, once again, we thank you for all of your gifts and the blessing of being able to share this time together this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now last week you might remember we looked at the parable of the 10 minas, where we see a king entrusted money to his servants while he went away. Some of those servants used that money, they invested it, they were productive, and they received praise and honour from the king when he came back. But there was another servant who was afraid, so he hid what he had been given from the king. And when the king returned, he was very unhappy with this servant because he didn't do anything with it. And so we saw the importance of using the gifts and opportunities that God has given us, the importance of action, of service, being active rather than being fearful and afraid and inactive and useless. And the lesson that we're going to look at today is an important complement to that message. It gives us another angle to consider, I think, when we think about how we're going about using our gifts, how we're going to about being active in God's service. So our passage comes from Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is contrasting traditional interpretations of the law, which often sought to try and find loopholes in the law, other ways that were generally self-seeking, that they're trying to interpret the law to benefit themselves. And they generally failed to get at the heart of God's law, what he was looking for in his people. But Jesus is contrasting that with a more holistic, complete understanding of the law, which is focused on transforming people's hearts, focusing on genuine submission to God in our lives and genuine concern for our neighbour. This is what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. And in this context, he has this to say in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. He says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." And then Jesus goes on to say a similar thing about prayer, praying in secret. But the lessons we're going to be looking at today apply to our lives broadly in every sphere of our life, every act of righteousness that we might engage in, as Jesus says. But today we're focusing on this, where Jesus talks here about giving. But as I said, the lessons are much more broad than that. So Jesus says we're to practice our acts of righteousness in secret. And he uses this example of people giving to the needy. But why should we practice in secret? What's the reason for it? Well, the reason that Jesus gives, it isn't anything to do with how effective we might be. He doesn't suggest that we can do more, that we can be better at all of these things if we do it in secret. Instead, what it's really all about is the attitude that we bring to what we're doing, the attitude that we bring to the gifts that we give or whatever else we might do, why we're doing these things, and who we're serving when we do these things. And so in this passage, and in many of the following passages in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is constantly telling us, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite. This is the big danger that Jesus is warning us against. This hypocrisy of our life being this show, a performance for other people rather than a life of lived with integrity. Because really, this is the temptation that we face when we're going, whenever we do anything. No matter how good or noble, the thing that we might be doing is, no matter how good and beneficial it is, the temptation always is that selfishness is going to creep in and we'll start thinking about ourselves. We'll want to draw attention to what we're doing. We'll want to announce it with trumpets like Jesus says in the example. We'll expect praise and honour from other people for what we're doing. And then we'll end up becoming disillusioned or upset when people don't give us the recognition that we think we deserve, or when people don't join in and help us like we think they ought to, because we're focusing on those other things. And so soon, again, despite how good the things we might be doing are, soon it can become not about being loving, it's not about kindness or helping others, or even anything to do with serving God. That can be far from our minds. It can become all about us helping ourselves, us trying to get what we can for ourselves here and now. And when that happens, when we allow our acts of righteousness to become like that, that makes us hypocrites, because we're playing the part of a loving and caring and generous person, but all along it's really just a selfish ego trip. So we're living a lie. We're living as hypocrites. And so Jesus says the cure for this is secrecy. He says, don't even let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. Be so secret, Jesus says, even keep it a secret from yourself. Now, obviously that's an exaggeration. We can't keep things secret from ourselves. But really, what Jesus is saying here is, if only God knows the things that you're doing, then there's no chance of us getting any other reward here and now in this life. We're not going to receive praise. We're not going to receive thanks. We can only receive praise from God. And really, that's the only reward or honour that we ought to be seeking. Of course, it's impossible for us to do everything in secret. At the end of the day, someone's always going to know what we're doing, what our gifts are, how we're serving. But if you think about it, just like the sinner who Jesus said should cut off his right hand if that causes him to sin, maybe we really do need to think seriously about how serious we take Jesus' challenge here. Do we think too much about who knows what we're doing? Perhaps we really ought to think about what it might look like for us to practice this discipline of regularly doing something, anything, in secret, making sure that no one knows what we're doing, just as a way of keeping us humble so that we know that we're doing these things for the right reasons, to remind us why God wants us to be generous in the first place. Maybe we need to think seriously about how we can do this in a way that really helps us to learn how to be truly generous in giving without expecting anything in return. So if we think about what it might look like for us to act in secret, to give in secret, as Jesus says here, we might think about something that Jesus said a little bit earlier in the sermon, in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. He says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So is Jesus contradicting himself here? Even in the same sermon, on the one hand, he's saying we should do all our good deeds in secret. And on the other hand, he says we need to let our light shine before men. How can we do the both at the same time? But really, I think Jesus is addressing two separate issues here. On the one hand, here in Matthew chapter 5, he's talking about the influence that God's people will have. He's saying his people are going to be a blessing to the world around them. And they're going to be such a blessing that the world can't but help but notice what the effect that they are having on the world. That's how much of a blessing God's people are going to be if we're faithful as God's people. But in the original passage that we're looking at today about giving, I think Jesus is talking about the attitude that we bring to our gifts and our service. We think about who is our audience that we're playing to in these things. Are we playing to the world around us, seeking their approval, seeking their praise? Or are we playing for God as our audience and what he wants us to do? But notice that even here in Matthew chapter 5, despite this talk of us shining our light before men, the point is, Jesus says, that God will be glorified in all of this, not ourselves. At the end of the day, when we shine, we're only reflecting God's light. It's not light from ourselves. And so it's not glory for ourselves. The glory always belongs to God. So there's no contradiction here. When Jesus tells us to act in secret, what I think he's really saying is to act as if no one will know what you're doing, because only then will we truly know where our heart lies in everything that we do. Now, not surprisingly, I couldn't really think of any examples in the Bible where we hear about people giving in secret as a story, which is, I guess, obvious, because if things are done in secret, we're not going to hear about them. But there are examples of similarly selfless acts of giving. Consider the poor widow that we read about in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few pence. Jesus calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So this wasn't a secret gift by the poor widow. In fact, Jesus himself draws everyone's attention to what she's just done. So does that mean, oh, it's too bad for that poor widow? She's wasted her opportunity. She should have waited until no one was looking before she gave her money here. Of course, that's not what Jesus is saying. When we look closer here, we see what's going on here is Jesus talking about the attitude of the heart of the person who is doing the giving. So we see the rich people, they're putting on a big show about how much they're giving, ostentatiously putting in large amounts of money, no doubt rattling the tin, making sure everyone hears how loudly, how much money they're putting in. And with this arrogance of attitude says, "Aren't you all so much better off because of me and how much money I'm giving? I'm such a benefit to the community." But really, these people, they're not concerned with where the money is going or even where their money came from. There's plenty more money where that came from. You know, they've only given a small amount in proportion to what they have. All that really matters is what their gifts get for them, the praise and honour of the people, the prestige of it. So really, it's not a gift at all. It's just another kind of transaction where they're giving some money in return for the praise and honour of the people. And so, as Jesus says, they have their reward in full. And they're hypocrites. They're acting selflessly, but for selfish reasons. They're putting on this facade. But instead, the widow has none of those concerns. She isn't looking for praise or attention. I mean, who could possibly be impressed by a couple of small coins? And even what difference could her gift possibly make? In the scheme of things, it's hardly worth anything. So why bother? So in what way can Jesus say that she's given more than the others? Well, the answer is she hasn't given more in money, of course. But as Jesus says, she's given more of herself. She's giving because it's the right thing to do. She's giving because she wants to play her part. No matter how small that part might be, she wants to give her part. Her heart is in the gift, unlike those rich people. And that's what Jesus sees, and that's what Jesus cares about. Now, this story reminds me of a story I heard a long time ago. In the 1990s, the Western Bulldogs were a struggling AFL club. They were always at the bottom of the ladder. They were always running out of money. Their star player, Chris Grant, though, was considering leaving the club for big money elsewhere. But he got a letter from a fan, a young boy, who with the letter sticky-taped his pocket money of 20 cents onto the letter, hoping that this money would encourage his hero to stay with the club. Now, hundreds of thousands of dollars were on the table in this deal. Who cares about 20 cents? Like the widow's gift, what's the point? What a fool that boy was to think that it would make a difference. Now, as it happens, Chris Grant had already made the decision the day before that he would stay, but he later said that receiving this letter, receiving this 20 cents, reaffirmed his decision to stay with the club. Of course, not because he needed the 20 cents. In fact, he never spent that 20 cents. But it mattered because he was touched by this gesture from the young boy, showing how much the club meant to him and how much he, as his hero, meant to this little boy. You see, it was only a small gift, but the boy's heart was in the gift. He wasn't part of a big corporation holding a press conference to announce a new sponsorship deal or a big new donation or some community program. It was just a little boy doing what he could because he loved the club and he loved his favourite player. Now, it's people like that and actions like that that really make a football club. But it's also people like that and actions like that that makes a Christian community thrive as well. Because heartfelt giving doesn't always make a big difference the way big numbers can make a difference. But it does make a difference to people in ways that big numbers can't. And this is the heart of what it means to give, what it means for us to be living sacrifices as God wants us to be. It's not the value of the sacrifice that's important. It's the willing and humble heart that's important. As we read in Hosea 6:6, God says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." See, this is what Jesus means when he tells us not to be hypocrites. Our acts of righteousness, they're not something we do to impress other people. They're not even something that we do to impress God. They're actions flowing from the righteousness that God has given us. They're acts of mercy from one heart to another. No audience, no agenda, nothing expected in return. That's what true giving is, from the heart. That's what pleases God. So as we live our lives, as we try and be active with the things that God has given us, let's try to put any thought of an audience out of our minds. Let's not be hypocrites. Let's just focus on loving and serving our fellow creatures whom God has placed around us. Let's just learn that lesson of humble giving without seeking anything in return without thought of an audience or what we can gain. That's the lesson from the passage this morning.